It's Comics Are Great, visual storytelling show recorded live every other Wednesday at the Ann Arbor District Library in lovely downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, comics.aadl.org. And this is the show where I'm visited upon by a bunch of cartoonists to talk about making comics, writing comics, drawing comics, character design, the lifestyle of a cartoonist, all the stuff that goes into this medium that drives us so crazy. My name is Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, and with me today, full house, full room of people today. I'm going to start with our Skype guest because I'm very excited to talk with her. Megan Brennan of, oh gosh, let's go through all of your URLs. Pencilpup.com, schoolofworld.tumblr.com. What's your main Tumblr, Megan?
I think it's just megthebrennan.tumblr.
But you are the artist and co-creator of School of World, which
the book.
Yeah, I've got the book. Fantastic comic that if you haven't read it before, it's so good. What is School of World about? It's about a little boy and his papa.
Yeah, it's a little boy named Little Boy asks his papa questions about the world because he doesn't understand anything. So he asks questions that, like, me and the writer of the comic, my friend Raul, have about the world. Like, how do we be cool kids? How do we answer the phone? And then, like, there are a lot of dumb questions, too, because we've gotten our followers to ask questions. So sometimes Papa's asking questions like, how to Dougie? Or, like, how to time travel?
Well, and it's got this really lovely verbal style to it that I love so much. Like, here's one of the strips right now. Papa, teach me how to love. I cannot do that, little boy. I am not hippie. Papa, teach me to chic fashionable. Okay, little boy. Wear lots of feathers and glowing pippy a lot. What? Oh, going PPP a lot. You will be chick magnet. Yeah, so it's a really, really funny book that everybody who loves comics should read. I also have here Life of Luna, which is the main comic I got from you at SPX a couple years back. And this is about Sailor Moon's cat.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, there's, like, the reboot was announced a couple years ago, or a year ago, maybe? And I got really excited, so I did a Sailor Moon comic, and then now I keep getting, like, reblogs of it, even though it's been a really long time, and not sure how I feel about some of the drawings in it anymore.
Oh, I love it. But the one I'm most excited about right now, and you just celebrated a year anniversary of,
yeah,
Pencil Pup. I looked all over for the mini comic, and this is the sign that I read a comic a lot, is when it turns up missing, because it means I've been carrying it all over the house. But Pencil Pup is this bizarre and wonderful comic about a girl who finds herself trapped in this netherworld dungeon with this happy puppy with legs made of pencils and this very, very frightening owl. And I don't even know how to describe what the story is. It's like the cutest Twilight Zone I've ever seen in my life. So can you describe it better than that?
I don't know where to go. Pretty much.
That's at pencilpup.com, and I encourage everybody who loves delightful things to read that comic. So anyway, Meg, really, really super happy to have you here. So thank you for making time to be on the show to talk about Tumblr with us today. I got to introduce our other guests in the room. So I'll start with Lauren Hauser, Blizzard Paw. That's the branding you keep everywhere, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to switch over though more to like Lazuli. My Tumblr is lazuliart.tumblr.com.
Oh.
So that's just the art blog. I don't recommend going to my main blog.
Unless you like Tom Hiddleston a lot.
Yeah. There's some of that.
But you're a cartoonist too.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a long time now, since like you were 14 or something. 15?
17.
Is that how old you were when we met?
Oh. Yeah, we didn't. Well, I guess I took some of your like classes at the library, but it wasn't until my senior year in high school that I took that class.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay. So it seems longer to me. Every minute in eternity of knowing Lauren Hauser.
So about 5 years.
Okay, well, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in regards to the proportion your life to mine, it's a longer time for you than me.
Yeah.
And you did a mini comic called Keeping Secrets.
Yeah.
Which, can we still get this?
Yeah, I still have some. I need to restock it at Vault of Midnight and put some offerings online, but yeah.
Yeah, you got to put it in like a Store Envy site or something. What's Keeping Secrets about?
Keeping Secrets was, I'm working on a future webcomic project, and this was kind of a little backstory for one of the minor characters, just something I wanted to develop that I wouldn't be able to fit in the main storyline. But it's just like I wanted that conversation out and in drawing, so in comic form.
So this is part of a larger world that you're eventually going to release online.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And also, you on your DeviantArt, you've got lots of Nuzlocke comics.
No,
you took those down?
I didn't post any.
Oh, I thought you did.
Mm-mm. The thing that I've been posting recently, and I guess we could some of the things we could discuss was a DeviantArt original character tournament, the OCT, where you know it's it kind of is sound. It's what sounds like you know create an original character. There's already a set story or universe, and you put your character in with a bunch of other ones, and you just climb to the top. You can sometimes have to fight other people, like whose comic is better kind of thing, or it's just like how your character solves the problem, and you advance up the levels. And I did that for like 5 months. But that was only like two rounds, too. Two or three rounds. So there's like a lot of that right now. It was a Pokemon-based OCT, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and this is something that people should know before they go to your site is that you really, really love Pokemon.
Yeah. Yes, fact. There's a lot of Pokemon on my Tumblr and on my DeviantArt.
And like not just like, oh, I'm a fangirl for Pokemon. Like, you have real relationships with your Pokemon that you nurture on your games.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and the latest game didn't help, you know, with the little Pokemon Ame where you play with them and you can feed them. It's just like, I shouldn't be this connected to my Pokemon, but I am.
And when you were doing the Nuzlocke comics, I remember one of your Pokemon died.
I was very upset about that.
You were very, yeah. Like I felt like I needed to send you a card. I was like, oh, you know, sorry about your loss kind of thing. But yeah, good to have you back on the show, Lauren. And then we've got Meggie Ram returning to the show as well.
Hey, everybody.
Meggie Ram of pifflethecomic.tumblr.com.
Yes, I've got three websites, I guess. I've got pifflethecomic.tumblr.com. Everybody's got lots of URLs. I work for saga.com, which has a blog called secretsengarden.com, which has a... Yeah, there it is. It's up on the screen. And that has a bunch of comics about yoga and meditation and mindfulness. And then I also have a blog, ipsurvivalblog.weebly.com, which is a blog about trying to make a graphic novel by March.
Oh, so you're...
Or comic.
So you're journaling the whole...
Yeah, the whole thing. And you can see my struggles.
Online. And feel for you.
Yeah, feel for me.
Been there.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons we cartoonists like to watch other cartoonists process vlogs. It's like the grind shot on America's Funniest Home Videos where we're all like, oh, I feel that. That's terrible that you just went through that.
You're like, you look at like what time a post is up and you're like, 4 a.m. I've been there.
Okay, so topic. We got to get into the topic. We got a question in the Q&A app on the Google Hangout. Brian Russell's asking, is there still a chat feature? Is it on another website? No, for this one, what we're doing is we're using the Q&A app on Google Plus Hangouts. So if you guys want to chime into the discussion, you can post your questions there. That's the only thing I'm going to be watching today. But we've got Al in the control room also watching for comments and capturing links that we discuss in the show today. Okay. Posting stuff on the web. Stuff has changed a lot in the last 10 years. I mean, I started doing webcomics beginning of 2003, and like I remember having to hand type HTML for my web. Every time I put up a new page, I'd have to make another HTML page to post on the site and then update like the before and forward and back buttons on the pages. And it was a real pain in the tuchus. And then, like, getting the word out about your comic was totally different back then. Like, you had to go to forums and get into discussions with strangers and then, like, have your SIG file be like, read my comic. It was really hard to build an audience. And nowadays, it's like there's a million ways to do this thing. And, like, you don't even have to, like, pay for any services nowadays. Like, I had to pay for web hosting and stuff back then. But now you got, like, Smack Jeeves, you got... what are the other ones? Weebly.
That's more for, it's like a process blog. It's got more like text things. It doesn't have anything like comics. I have a Tumblr. Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of comics on it. So it's good for that. And I have to have that up for, I have like professors and people who are, you know, in charge of things that they have to have something to look at. But I wouldn't have that on Tumblr. And you can't like share it as readily as on Tumblr. You know how there's not that reblog button that makes things so easy.
Okay, well that leads me to talking about Tumblr, because there's a lot of things to pick out there right now. But you guys like have a lot of stuff on Tumblr, and Megan and you in particular, like the comics we mentioned are all on Tumblr, right? Pencilpup.com takes you to Tumblr. So okay, I got advice from somebody in the publishing industry recently. I have a lot of Google Plus followers because I got put on their suggested user list, which was great and everything. I got all these people watching my posts, but I said to somebody in the publishing industry, I'm like, I wonder if I can leverage that to like get better advances on books. Because like, hey, look at the audience I have, right? And they responded with, you know, audience is not as important as notes on Tumblr. Like if you have a lot of notes on something on Tumblr, that means you have a lot of influence. And you can have very few followers but have a lot of influence because your stuff gets passed around a lot. And so like, he's like, really, you need to have your eyes on Tumblr more so than other places right now. And it got me thinking about that, and then I went to Tumblr, and I tried playing with it, and I've had a Tumblr account for years. I've just been using it as sort of like a mind dump. It's just like, here's everything I think about right now. But I haven't really nurtured it or done anything with it, so, and then when I tried, I'm like, I don't... Basically what I'm saying is, Megan, teach me to Tumblr. I'm hoping all you guys can, like, this is a totally selfish episode for me. I don't know how Tumblr works, and I hope you guys can walk me through it, because it's a weird bird. It's like, it's a social network, and it's a content management platform, and, you know, there's, like, this whole thing about, like, when you go to it, you go to a dashboard. You don't actually go to, like, seeing people's Tumblr sites. You just see their content, but then you can go to their Tumblr sites, and so anyway, overview time. I'm going to throw a squishy question at you guys first, and then we'll start to drill down. What's so great about Tumblr? Why do you guys spend so much time on it? Lauren?
Some days I wonder. I'd say, you know, part of it's probably because a lot of our generation's on it, so we all have, like, a similar mindset, you know, to just kind of, you know, it could be political views, or it could be the fact that we just marathon 3 seasons of a series in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, just like kind of what we do. And of course, like the fandoms as well, like the grouping of, you know, the fans of shows and comics and movies, you know, like we all can collect really easily and share our feelings and our, you know, artwork for it or edits and stuff like that. And so it's like, it's nice and collected there. You don't have to go scour the internet for it.
So it's people with similar tastes, like what the young people are watching right now. So that's why when I post like a 1982 GoBots drawing, nobody cares.
Oh, of course they care. Well, but that's actually kind of one of the nice things, is because like while it might not be one of the bigger fandoms, because maybe it's a little bit older or anything, or you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you
it's
mean.
Like, but it's easy for them to find it, like using the tag system. It's like you guys can find each other a lot easier than if you just had like a fan page somewhere off of like MySpace or something.
Yeah. Like she said, when you have like say you just like marathon something on Netflix, like I got introduced to Doctor Who and it was a big mistake. But like right after I got introduced to Doctor Who, I started searching all the Doctor Who tags, and that was also a mistake. So yeah, it's just, it makes things really, I think that one of the things that I really like about Tumblr is how accessible it is. It's like, not only can you get to the content that you want, but if you yourself have a blog, like if you want to reblog something, it's just like a click. It's not something like, it's not coding something, which is a pain.
Okay. Megan?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's like sometimes if you draw something that's kind of like there aren't that many fans, when there is the one fan who loves it, they get really excited, and then like they reblog and you can see like all of the like, oh my God, it's my favorite thing. Nobody knows. It's so good. So it's kind of rewarding.
So niche stuff too.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just, because like when I look at my feed, I see a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I see a lot of, well, I follow you, Lauren, so I see a lot of Loki. I see, and then,
I haven't been doing that so much lately.
A lot of Harry Potter.
You keep saying this like it's a problem.
From the Harry Potter play, what is that called?
Harry Potter musical?
Yes.
Harry Potter musical.
I don't do that very often either. Right now it's Attack on Titan, and there's something else I'm doing right now, but I can't remember. Persona.
Oh.
That's what's going on right now.
Okay. But I'm wondering if you guys together can characterize a Tumblr user. I mean, well, you've characterized the users, right? So it's like fandoms. It's like community building or gathering around things that you love through the tagging system. I want to talk about tags later, but but okay. Can you characterize your favorite Tumblr artists? Can you paint a picture of what do they do that delights you so much when you find somebody who's like, yes, when you type all caps, when you reblog it?
My one of my favorite Tumblrs is GingerHaze.tumblr.
Yes, yeah, Noelle Stevenson. Yeah.
I love her art. And I think one of the great things that she does is that she'll go out and she'll see a movie. She'll see something like Avengers. Or I think she just went and saw the new Hunger Games Catching Fire thing. Mm-hmm. And then she just made this like funny comic about how Katniss wears the dress that's supposed to be symbolic of a Mockingjay, and then one of the other characters in the movie wore a dress that was symbolic. And she's like, look, my dress is symbolic too. And then it like changes into like a big foam finger flipping the bird.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's doing so successful is that like, I think her fandom started with her drawing the broship of the rings. And it's like, it changes all of the characters from Fellowship of the Rings into these tiny little bros with like lattes and stuff. And so I think it's, I think that like being successful is kind of taking what's like currently popular and then just like
putting your spin on it.
Yeah. Putting your spin on it.
So commentary on pop culture kind of thing. Cause I see that when Pacific Rim came out, I remember her feed was a lot of drawings of those Russians.
Russians.
Oh, that was so funny. I love that.
Megan, what's some of your favorite Tumblr artists? What do they do that delights you?
I really like people who post I follow mostly like comics people and illustrators and stuff. I mean, I follow some fandom stuff too, but I really like on Tumblr. There's a lot of like people share really like personal comics. Like sometimes it's like I love this character so much, but sometimes it's like here's a story about my life, like growing up, and like you can see a lot of like really personal comics and art and stories and stuff, and there's a lot of like sharing that on I feel like other like I used to follow like artists through their personal like their own separate websites, and there wasn't as much of like here's like a comic that I made really quickly that I really had this emotion I had to share, and then like people like you can see followers sometimes like if you put something up like they'll reblog it and be like this is me.
Yeah.
Identification and like sharing feelings, and it's really like cute and nice.
So a sense of like candor and earnestness, maybe?
Yeah, like I feel like there isn't that much like posturing or like trying to make something really perfect most of the time with like the people who are like really like Tumblr famous, like they love something and they share it like through reblogs or through like what they are like original content.
Yeah.
It's like what they like genuinely really want to share and look at.
Actually, that jives with something you just posted today, Lauren. You just reshared somebody that did like this really quick comic about like, I'm so hungry. How did it go? It's like,
I'm so hungry and I don't like anything in my fridge and I'm too broke to go eat out. And then it's just like a moment of silence and then like,
And yeah, it's not like this piece of illustrative beauty, right?
Yeah.
It's not a Thomas Kincaid painting or anything. It's just this quick little doodle just about a moment in her life. And so like, so this is currency on there, is it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Earlier we were talking about like Tumblr horror stories, and this isn't really a Tumblr horror story, but like on my Piffle the Comic Tumblr, like I just post a bunch of random stuff that I make, and there's stuff that you know you spend a lot of time on and you're super proud of. And the thing that got most reblogs was something I did, like that was similar to that, was just a stick figure looking in a fridge and saying, looking into my fridge is a lot like looking into my bank account. And the stick figure says, yeah, I can do nothing with this. And, like, that got the most blogs out of everything. And then I have the, like this comic that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. This is great. Everybody's going to love this. And I post it and this like one person likes it. And then you just like flip tables. And you're like, come on.
So emotion, like tying into relatable, cathartic or visceral emotion, that counts for something.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, then I want to dig a little deeper into that, because this is interesting to me. So when you guys are posting your stuff, how candid do you feel like you can be? Because I mean, this kind of flies against some older common wisdom on the web is that you must craft a persona and you have to worry about your brand and you have to be very professional and thank everybody for retweeting your thing, you know? And then, yeah, that's one of the things when I go to Tumblr, I'm like, the culture here is very different because people are being, they're wearing their hearts in their sleeves. So how do you guys think about that when you're posting your stuff?
Sometimes I do. Like, yeah. Obviously there's, like, especially on my personal blog, there's some stories that I'm like, well, I don't think, like, they really need to hear this. This is something more for personal friends or anything. But there's still some times when I'm just like, oh, I just need to get this out right now. And, like, some people can, like, be like, oh, I'm sorry. Or, like, I can relate or whatever. And you know, that's sort of with your artwork, too, when you're just like, oh, look how beautiful this is. And then I got to the hand and it's all like, you know, distorted and the wrong hand, the wrong size. And it's just like, you know, it's not that big of a deal because, yeah, again, it's part of maybe part of the age group and maybe just the culture. We understand. We've been there.
I also think it's kind of the risk you take on Tumblr, like putting your stuff out there because, you know, people can say whatever they want about it. But at the same time, that's one of the great things about the Tumblr community is you don't get a lot of people who reblog something and are like, oh my God, look at this. Isn't this drawn terribly? Like, I don't think I know of anybody who's ever had anything like that happen. Like, the only time that I think Tumblr gets up in arms about something is if there's, like, been a wrong. Like, I think there was something
social
about...
Social justice.
Yeah, yeah, just social justice. Like, things get reblogged and everybody in the Tumblr community is like, burn them! But I don't think anybody's ever drawn something and they're like, oh, man, your hand. Like, no.
Well, I've seen people, like, I have some friends who have had a lot of Tumblr followers, and sometimes, like, if they become really popular, like, their followers end up getting this weird, like, sense that, like, the person they're reblogging from can't see everything they're, like, writing. So, like, sometimes people will be, like, really cruel to someone because they don't think of them as being just, like, a regular person because they're popular. It gets really weird sometimes when, like, fandom crosses over with, like, art and, like, someone just wants to post art they drew and like, and then, like, if they become popular enough, like, this weird, like, hive mind kicks in where it's like something's on your dash, like you can say whatever you want about it and doesn't matter if the original person sees it.
Yeah,
but they still get the notifications, so they totally do.
Yeah,
so there is some that doesn't sound like trolling as much as it sounds like people just being unaware of that they're being rude kind of thing.
I mean, there's definitely the trolls on occasion. Yeah. But yeah, it's
I think it's like if you become really big, it becomes like, like you, they don't treat people like, if you become like really popular or whatever, they don't treat you like with the same amount of like respect or whatever.
Or
so
compassion.
Like they start like saying whatever they want.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you haven't had your art like blow up because you happen to be like in a popular fandom or whatever, like you're never going to have someone reblog with like, this art looks terrible. The anatomy is really bad. But then like, I've seen horror stories on my dash. I'm just like, why? I bother.
And then there's the whole like backlash that if you do get something that's reblogged a lot, it's usually just your image that gets reblogged. Like the one of the girl who wanted something to eat but didn't have any money, like that gets reblogged, but you don't like, usually people don't click back to the source. They're not like, oh my gosh, this is a really funny comic. I should go back
okay.
and look for more of those.
Yeah, I want to go there because I remember a while back there was a lot of static about sharing things without attribution on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. And worse, some people were stripping attribution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they would remove it from the image.
I wish I was going to find it beforehand so I had like a, you know, a link to the original one, but I forgot to do it. But there was a comic about that. I went around that. It was like, you know, an artist and there's like a little persona, a person that's like artwork or whatever it says label. And like, here, go out into the world. And
oh,
and
I
like,
saw that. That yeah. was heart-wrenching.
And then like, you know, the artwork wandles up like a child up to like some stranger and he's just like, oh, what a nice piece of artwork. Like, but, you know, we know it would be so much better without this. And it, like, cuts off the kid's arm. And then it's, like, it's comparing it to, like, when you take off the source or the artist's caption and, like, mm-hmm. just for your own purpose. And, you know, what, like, it's awful. And, like, that happens all the time.
It still happens all the time.
Yeah. I honestly, if I could think back, like, looking at that comic I reblogged, I'm not sure if the source was still on there or not.
Oh, I thought Tumblr took steps to make sure that the source is always persistent.
I mean,
well,
people can
like save it and repost it in a new post. Mm-hmm. Like I actually had this happen to me once where like I had a new follower and I was like, oh, I'm going to see, look at their blog, see what's going on there. And like, I think I had drawn a piece of Adventure Time fan art like a month or two earlier. And I think it must have turned up in Google image search because like I went to their blog and my art was there like in a different post. And I was, so like I messaged them and I was like, oh, that's, can you like take that down? You can just reblog it for me. It's really easy. And like, apparently they didn't know it was from me because they were like, I just grabbed it off Google. Like, I didn't know. I'm so sorry, but I don't know. Like, I thought it would just link back to my blog. Like, I put the source in, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to, like, you. I feel like nowadays people are putting, like, their signatures or, like, their logo on, like, their fan art just in case that kind of thing happens. And you don't want to make it, like, this huge thing.
You don't want to watermark it.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, write Maggie Ram on top of, like, everything that I make. So you try and make these, like, tiny little, like, logos, but then that's kind of what bites everybody in the butt is that you make it small, and then that's so easy for somebody just to be like, and erase, and this is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, you deal with that with a lot of other sites as well, like yeah. DeviantArt and like Reddit, apparently. I don't have much experience with Reddit, but I talked to a friend who does use it more.
Mm-hmm.
And like the same thing that happened with that stick figure comic of yours. Yeah. Like he posted a picture and it just blew up. It got to the front page and everything. But then like it's apparently like Reddit's known for like they take images and edit them because it's super easy.
Yeah.
And so like
a lot of those like collective like media websites like Reddit and Imgur,
whatever. Yeah.
A lot of stuff that gets posted in there is like reposted content, or it's somebody finds something original and they're like, oh yeah, this is cool. I want to get like points or karma or something. Yeah. So I'm going to post and pretend that it's mine or that my sister made it. And everybody's going to be so like proud of me because I made this thing. And then everybody's like, no, we saw that before. That's ours.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Megan. Does the general Tumblr community police this in any way? Like, what's the general vibe? Is everybody like, well, you know, you get what you pay for. You know, you dine with the devil, you better have a long spoon and all that stuff. And, like, that's just the way it goes. Or does the general outrage usually correct this kind of thing?
I think, I feel like there's two different camps where, like, there's some people who are just like, whatever, it's Tumblr, who cares? Like, I took this picture and I re-edited the colors so it looks prettier with my theme and like deleted all your info, like whatever. And, like, there's also a lot of people who will stick up for artists that they follow or just like art they like. Like they'll be like, this is the source. Like, and if you like look at the reblogs, which is really nice. So I feel like it's like there's always like a struggle between the people who do care about it and the people who don't care at all.
The light side and the dark side.
Well, I was going to say there's probably a third side, which is they kind of just kept reblogging. They didn't actually notice and felt they would feel bad later or maybe not care at all. Like they're just completely neutral. Just
reblogging. I've reblogged stuff and then after I've done it, I'll be like, did I check for the source? I did not. Now I feel terrible. Wow. So, okay. Well, let's go into talking about... Oh, and actually, before we get to horror stories, I want to talk about theming. Because, like I said at the top, this thing is, like, it's weird, like, this social network where it's both a content management solution where you can have, like, a Tumblr page, and you can have subpages, and some people turn them into full-on websites, right? Like dansantet.com, Ray Frendon, he runs his website off of Tumblr, and they look fantastic. They look like, you know, proper websites. But when I log in, I'm always in my dashboard and it gives me the content stream rather than, you know, like page, previews of all the people's different Tumblr pages, right? It just strips everything out and just gives me the content. So question comes up, how much should I be thinking about my theme? If once they follow me on Tumblr, they're just going to see my content in their stream anyway. Do I need to really fuss with it? Or how much do you guys fuss with it? I'll start with Megan. I mean, how much do you think about it?
I think I used to try harder to make my theme look nice, but now I kind of just use the standard template and just like put like nice backgrounds and stuff because like my Tumblr, like my main Tumblr is my art blog, so I don't really reblog anything on it except for my art once in a while, like my friend's stuff. So I want to keep like the archive neat in case like people find it through other things, but I don't really mess with it too much because I don't really look at it.
Out of sight, out of mind. Lauren?
I kind of would agree to that. Like, I think it's good to make it look a little bit professional, simple to read and get through and everything. Because, yeah, if once it, you know, the people who are on Tumblr are just going to see the content on their dash. But, you know, what if someone links the Tumblr to someone like, oh, you're a big fan of this, but you're not on Tumblr here. I'm just going to send you to this website, this individual blog. So you do want it like to look a little appealing, but it doesn't have to be like, I know a lot of people who do fuss with it all the time, but frankly, it's like most people don't wind up going back to that page once they start following you. It's just merely for people who are about to discover you. And then if they follow you, then they don't ever see it again. And if it's someone who's on Tumblr, they're going to see you maybe a couple times.
Right. Like, I've got a portfolio that I run on Tumblr. And that one, I actually like, okay, let's get the theme to look kind of okay. Mm-hmm. Because this is meant for potential gigs to find me.
Yeah.
But then, like, my personal one is just like, whatever. Here, checkered background. There we go. Right?
Yeah. I've installed a theme on my personal one, and I was going to be like, I'm going to customize all the pictures for it, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, it was, like, permission. You know, don't change the basic format, but you can change the pictures on it. I'm like, oh, I'll do that. And I haven't touched it in, like, 5 months. So, I'll get to it.
And there are a lot of themes. But I mean, we should say for people who don't use it, there's a ton of themes you can just use for free. And there's some premium ones.
And people make them, too. Yeah. You can go in and, like, copy the code that they make. And then, you know, like, they'll give you the instruction. Be like, don't edit this. You can edit this, you know. Mm-hmm. Be polite. Don't take out the, you know.
Don't take out the attribution, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Maggie.
I was just going to say, I think that the only issue that I've had with, like, Tumblr themes is that sometimes, like, because you have that dashboard that you view your feed in, and you can click on things, and sometimes it, like, expands the picture, but sometimes, like, I follow Justice, like, the mini Justice League comics, Justice League 8, mm-hmm. and, yeah, and I love that comic, but the issue is when I click on it to make it bigger, I can't always read the text, and so then I'll go to the blog, and then I'll try and expand it there, and sometimes that still doesn't make it big enough for my eyes to comprehend. So, and that's a problem that I have on my own site, too, is that sometimes making things, like, the content big enough for human eyes is difficult. And is an issue, like, on the feed, too. If you're just going through and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to read this comic. And then you click it and it goes from, like, this big to, like, that big. And you're like, oh, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. So,
yeah, I've struggled with, like, sizing on, like, both in my themes. Because, like, some themes auto-stretch things. So it looks really weird if, like, you want your pictures to not be warped. So I ended up with the regular Tumblr theme. But then sometimes on my dash, too, it's like you can see someone who didn't resize their comic to not being huge when they posted it on Tumblr, because then when you try to click it looks really small because you have to click on high res to get the readable version, which is a pain.
Yeah,
it's a whole process.
And sometimes the high res doesn't even work that well either.
How many Tumblrs should I have? Because it's like, I just talked with Ryan Estrada on the Lean Into Art cast at leanintoart.com. And one of the things we were talking about was when we did an episode about how to get gigs, like how to freelance. And he said, you know, if I go to somebody's Tumblr page and they've got a bunch of reshares of other things, I'm like, well, where's your work? How do I find what you do? I'm seeing a bunch of pictures of Tom Hiddleston, but I'm not.
You're never
going
to let me.
I think it's adorable. I feel the same way about He-Man. exactly. Which will lead into the horror stories later on. But anyway, do I need like have a Tumblr for my He-Man reshares and then a Tumblr for my Transformers fanfics?
I think we were talking about this earlier, is that like even though we were like so excited to like tear apart Tumblr, like we're going to go home and we're gonna yes. go on it. So I think that that's like part of the drug, in that like you can start an art Tumblr and then you can start following other people, but like I have my art Tumblr and then I have my personal Tumblr, so that way when I see Loki and I see all those other things that I need to reblog, I can reblog it there as opposed to reblogging it on my art blog. So that way, you know, they're not like, oh my God, she loves cat gifs. Oh God, could you just stop posting all these pictures of cats?
Yeah,
I have like four or something, because I have my art blog, I have my reblog Tumblr, and then I have my comic archive and my pencil pop archive and the School of World Tumblr, because like I want everything to be neat, like, nicely put together.
Yeah, I'm looking right now how many I have.
Seven?
Oh, I got more than that. Yeah. Holy cow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14. Okay. 15. Oh, my gosh.
How do you have so many?
Yeah, wait, can you tell us what each of those tumblers are?
Well, some of them are defunct. Some of them are ones that I started. Some of the ones that I thought I was going to start. You know, it's
you
like
know you can delete those.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar. I have the personal blog where it's just the reblogging, you know, various, you know, text posts and gift sets and all that. I have my art Tumblr. And then I have a couple private reference blogs that I can just, like, it's my own little, you know, I tag them in a certain way so I can find them later. Oh, I need to look at, like, oh, look at this dog. It's a really nice, like, anatomical picture of a dog. And I'm going to need this later. Or, like, I really like the architecture of this. But since I don't want that showing up in the tags and I don't want people following, I keep it as a private.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is the best idea ever.
No, yeah.
I need to do that.
Yeah, one of my Tumblrs is a private reference one that Lauren taught me to do. She's like, yeah, just because... Yeah. Like, so much stuff comes to my feed. Like, Amy Kim Kibuishi, Kazu Kibuishi's wife, author and cartoonist, awesome cartoonist, she posts the most amazing images of, like, just, like, great color theory images. Like, mm-hmm. like it's an image that's, like, a master's course in color study. And I'm like, that's going, yeah. You know, I got to hang on to that for
my
later.
My mind is actually, like, blown right now. Because I just, and I usually just, like it. And then, like, if I'm, like, trying to remember, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there was that such, like, a great comic that had wonderful colors and... Like, maybe it was in February, and I'm just, like, going all the way down, and now I'm going to just create a blog, and it's going to be so much easier.
And then, what you do is you also use your own tagging taxonomy to be able to sort it, right?
Yeah, so it's, like...
Oh, this is great.
Reference, and then, like, on occasion, like, I'll find, like, a piece of music that I really like, so I go, like, non-reference or, like, irrelevant or something, but I just, like, want to be able to find it again and not lose it in my personal blog's archives. And then, like, then I'll put, like, the characters that I want, might use this for, like... The names of the towns I might use in the comic, or like, you know, to go back to it, and you know, tutorials as well. You know, yeah. When I did that started that OCT, my trainer had a lot of bird Pokemon, and I that was a learning experience. So like, I found this the one can't, went around that was like dividing up the anatomy of bird wings, and I'm just like, oh, need this, so I can go back to it later. So it's like duality reference, so I could go back and look at it. So it's like, yeah, and it's been helpful.
My life has been changed in this moment.
Megan,
so
are you gonna...
I was just going to say that eventually I think your likes, like if you try to go back and search in your likes, they delete them or something.
Oh,
so that was part of why I started a separate reblog Tumblr for like inspiration and just stuff I liked, because it's impossible to find anything in your likes.
Yeah, I also think that at some point they're like, okay, you've liked enough stuff. You're never going to find this ever again.
I'm taking off. That, like, if you try to scroll through your likes, I think there's a point where it just stops.
Mm.
Probably because there's too many.
I was going to say, though, you joked about it having, like, you know, having a He-Man blog. That's another thing that people do, is they do specific themed blogs. Like, I don't know if she wants me to share this. I don't know the URL, so I won't be too sharing. But my friend Erin has, like, one for cute bakery kind of things and stuff. And I had one for a couple from a game that I would just post fan art of that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's something that you don't want to spam your normal followers with, but then you can grab a whole nother set of attention.
Yeah, there's like a new, or one of the newest blogs I think that someone started was Tom Hiddleston Holding Sloths. And like you could do something like that. And also, if you're listening, it's a very entertaining blog.
I can't believe it.
It's just like, the great thing is they have them in all these like crazy poses or something, and then there's just this sloth that's just like hanging somewhere.
Just photoshopped in and everything. Oh my god, that sounds wonderful.
So I love this idea of, because like, well, the one of the things, a common theme on this show and on the Lean Into Art show that I do is finding the unique thing about your creative voice. Finding your voice, right? Mm-hmm. And part of finding your voice is finding out what makes you spiritually or creatively mad. What drives you up a wall, and that's what you bring as a unique feature to your art. And I like this idea of Tumblr as a platform encouraging you to celebrate that specific thing, because that's going to help you craft your presence online, right? As like, so when people think of He-Man, they think of me, right? Because I talk about He-Man all the time, right? And I draw He-Man all the time, right?
You're going to start your He-Man blog after this?
Well, now we can get into
blog
like
number 17, 18, and 19.
I want to get into some like dark areas now.
All right.
Because you bringing up He-Man brings this up. I did, so Dean Tripp, who I follow on Tumblr. He's got a great Tumblr log, deantrip.tumblr.com. And he loves Batman, like, probably more than I love He-Man. And so he's always posting all these images of Batman, all these different artists posting great drawings of Batman. And it's delightful to watch. I love looking at Batman coming through my feed. And I'm always reminded that Dean Tripp equals Batman, right? So I'm like, oh, I should be doing that with He-Man. I'm going to type in the tag He-Man into the search tag. And then I went, oh no, this boy just became a man today. And I wasn't ready for it. And then I posted about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, I looked at He-Man tags and I'm so sad now. And then somebody was like, shouldn't have searched the tags. So, okay, horror stories. Because for somebody who's new to this thing, like I was, how tags can be a wonderful thing or a terrible thing, can't they, Megan?
I don't really have any horrors to I just try to pay attention to what tags are like being used by people with similar work to me, but I still don't really know like what tags people check the most. Okay. So
so you've never like done like a search for like Sailor Moon tags and found something that you wish you never saw?
Well, I've searched for things in the tags, but I usually kind of stay away from it because it's like too much stuff at once. Like I like going through like my feed and finding things. I don't like if I look through the tags, there's like too much information, and then also random adult material.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part. Yep. That's the weirdest part. You find like adult Smurf stuff. I'm like, really? You know, like, that doesn't seem congruous to me.
Because Tumblr is one of the very few social media sites that allows not safe for work content. Most of them will, you know, attempt to hide it. You know, DeviantArt is getting terrible at this, but
it's actually like I feel like I've seen less of it than I did when I was on DeviantArt, because like on Tumblr you can just like if you don't follow people who post random stuff, it's like
but
you can just avoid it if you don't want to see it.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
like on DeviantArt it would be like on the front page.
It's like on the front page, like somebody like wearing absolutely nothing, and everybody's like, "Oh, I like that," and you're like, "Oh God, where's you know, where's the other stuff?"
Well,
like,
okay,
some
but
very specific Shrek artwork. Like, I don't really see that so much on Tumblr.
But because it's more about the tag system. It's like you said that you like to see this content more, just going through your dash. But okay, it's you know it's not small, but it's not like the biggest fandom. But I am part of the Persona fandom. I follow certain tags for specific characters, and it you know that stuff will pop up all the time. But even though I just want like, oh, I just want this nice picture, or maybe someone's headcanon about it, or a fan fiction, like I don't necessarily want to see that. But there's not much you can do about it, because like sometimes they don't tag not safe for work in the tag, so you can't blacklist it. Or, you know, they recently...
Whoa, you can blacklist tags?
You have to get an extension, a plug-in. But yes, Tumblr Savior. And then you can type in, like, blacklist. And there's a whitelist as well for things you always want to see.
Ooh, I like that.
But that...
Be careful with the He-Man.
But that still relies other people to tag saying that this is explicit or whatever. And then, like, Tumblr just recently added in that, you know, you can block adult blogs. But that also requires them to register their blog as an adult blog.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's kind of just like
you can't.
It's the internet.
It's the internet. But and even so, like on DeviantArt, you know, they do have a certain limit. You do see like a lot of naked people and things that are questionable as it is. But they do, you know, they say they do draw a line, fortunately, most of the time. And Tumblr doesn't. It's like whatever floats your boat. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
So I'm trying to create this comic, and I have like a Kraken sort of thing, and I wanted to look up references for tentacles. Never search tentacles in anything. And I don't even know why I thought it would be okay. But I think I went to like Google Images first, and I was just like, tentacles. Bad idea.
Well, safe search on, right?
It's the same thing with Tumblr. Like it's still the stuff slips through even if they tag it properly or if they got the adult context.
Tumblr, why do you want to make me so sad?
Well, you have to be careful with you can search for multiple tags. So I could be like tentacle octopus, 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 octopus. And they're like, or you could be like He-Man comics, comics.
Did they finally implement a multiple tag search?
What
did they finally?
I don't know.
I thought that was like that's what I'm looking for is for a multiple tag search. To focus like stuff down.
You can also just go to Google and search multiple tags and Tumblr, and usually that works.
Okay.
Sometimes. because I've searched for stuff on Google before, and then it's pulled it up on Tumblr, and it's been like, oh, you're looking for, like, cat gifs. That's, that's going to be the example of the day. But it's like, oh, you're looking for cat gifs. And it's like, here is all the cat gifs that have ever been posted on Tumblr. And I'm like, thank you. My day is gone.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can, like, phrase it a little bit differently in Google, so, like, you don't have to sit there and do the search in Tumblr itself.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, cats rolling in boxes or cats doing this, like
cats with other animals.
Those are the posts that I see in Lauren come from Lauren's feed that have the tag "my babies."
My babies, all the little kitties running around.
All right. Continuing down our dark path together. Ask me a question. Ask me a question. And somebody asked in the chat, Callie Blue says, anonymous asks, anonymous hate on Tumblr reactions. But I want to specifically focus around the anonymous questions that you guys get. Because that was one of the first things that I turned off when I logged in. I'm like, why would I want people to ask me questions? They can just email me, you know, off. I'm not doing that. But then I see a lot of people using the ask me a question thing to, like, create blog posts. And Meg, you yourself said that, you know, part of the School of World, right, comic is based on people asking Papa questions, right? So
yeah.
I wonder if you could speak to that first, Megan. Like, why use that?
I mean, on my personal art blog, I don't think I really even... I'm not sure if it's turned on or not on my blog. I don't really get that many anonymous ones. But on School of World, we haven't even really had a problem because the comic is set up. So it's specifically like, if you want to ask Papa a question, ask it in our ask box. That's part of why we put it on Tumblr, because we wanted people to talk to us. So we haven't actually had any problems with having anonymous on. Like, we've had a lot of anonymous questions, probably from people we know who didn't want us to know they were flooding our ask box. But for us, it's been really useful for School of World, because then we have a lot more questions that we wouldn't have had otherwise. But I think, like, on my personal blog, I don't really get anonymous questions, but I've seen people I know getting anonymous questions that have been not great sometimes. So I think it depends on your audience.
Yeah, I've gotten a bit of both. On my own personal Tumblr blog, like, every once in a while I'll be like, hey, like, send me something to draw. Like, do you want me to draw something? Just because it's good practice, and then, like, maybe your followers will love you more. And I had somebody be like, draw me a jellyfish or something. And so, like, I drew him a jellyfish, and that was great. So, like, sometimes I have that kind of stuff, or people will be like, oh, like, I really like this thing that you did. But then my personal blog, like, there was one time, I think it was when Anne Hathaway and James Franco were, like, hosting the Academy Awards, and I was like, oh my god, if they had a baby, it would be perfect. And then somebody was like, if you and Anne Hathaway had a baby, and I was like, wait, what? And so, yeah, you just get kind of, like, sometimes you just get kind of weird...
Creepy creepers?
...things, yeah. Which is weird, because, like, my personal blog, like, it's, like, what you said, it's, like, it's mostly people that I know, and so I don't know why they're asking anonymously. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I've not had a lot of experience with anonymous questions on either my art blog or my personal blog, but one of the things that did wind up happening, for that OCT, I created a separate blog for that, like, not even a side blog for my account. I created another account. And what we would do to, like, since it was all about role-playing and stuff like that, we would post, like, memes, like, and kind of questions or prompts and, you know, do it as your character, just to get, so you get a better idea of what they're like. Whether, like, that actually is canon and shows up in the tournament itself, it doesn't matter. It was, like, and also it bonds the community. Like, it was a huge thing for quite some time.
That makes me wonder, are there any examples of artists who have made Tumblrs for their characters? Like, their character runs the Tumblr?
I'm sure there is, but...
Yeah, I don't know of any specifically, but, I mean, it's Tumblr. It's kind of like, once you think it into being, it has to exist.
Well, okay, I know that they don't necessarily do it... I don't know about, like, their own original characters, but definitely fan characters.
Yeah.
Like, that happens all the time. They make role-playing blogs, again, for, like, these tournaments. I know Duality, the one that I was in, is not the only one who does it. The one that I first, like, I started actually following these character blogs for the one, what was it? Crap, of course, now I forget it. But it was, like, kind of like a World War II based Pokemon OCT.
Okay.
And run. Yeah. And I started following artists on that because they post art for that, and it was just interesting to see the characters develop through it. But otherwise, I haven't seen, like, for their own personal comics or something.
Yeah, I think that mostly art, like, fans of artists would be in charge of those blogs more than anything else, just because a lot of I feel like artists are busy.
Well, sure,
like doing the art.
I feel like if someone was going to do that, I feel like the Ask blog would be the main like project. Like I feel like you don't usually have time to make something that elaborate for your own character.
Yeah.
Like if it's someone else's character, you can have a lot of passion about like, I really love this character, I'm going to make this blog. But I think I feel like I've seen Tumblr blogs where like the premise was like, I made up this character and like the way you're going to interact is through this Tumblr.
Yeah.
Okay. And like there's no other media. It's just this Tumblr where you can like interact, but can't remember.
Because, well, I just think about, I mean, this is, again, going back 10 years, back when forums were the main way to interact with readers, and I set up a forum where my characters were the only people who interacted with people in the forum. Like, I, as an author, did not have an account in there, but all my characters did, and the readers loved it. They loved having conversations with my characters, and it was work. It was work having to, like, because people would ask, like, you know, like, hey, Jared, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Well, now I got to craft some kind of clever response in the style of Jared's character, right?
Yeah, but I actually think, now that I'm thinking on it, there used to be this comic called Chaos Comics, and I think that the artist of that gave each character a Facebook page and a Twitter account, and then would do the same kind of thing, and would kind of, so they wouldn't necessarily have an art blog, but they would have something so either you could like the page, or you could like talk to the character, or you could see the characters like interactions with each other. So they'd be like, hey dude, want to grab some coffee? And they'd be like, oh yeah, another character.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen character Twitters and such like that, because that's a lot easier. That's, you know, they got the word limit and you don't have to, maybe you can goof off a little bit in it, especially since they feel like your characters are set in like a fantasy world, obviously they're not going to have access to Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
Another thing that I remember, I keep going back to Pokemon related stuff, but Nuzlocke, it got really popular, and for other things, for other comics too, I've read where they had like, you know, I'm going to open up questions to the characters, and they'll just do like, they'll pick like 10 questions for each character and do like a little short response comic to each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes group questions, and they'll be just like, well, what do you think of this character? And they'll be like, no. You know, in some humorous way and such, but like, yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of those. So
okay. Oh wait, I realized I actually did this place. In School of World, there's a stripper little boy asks Papa how to do comic or something, and then I made him a little Tumblr of his really terrible comics that I like you know, at one point, and then I forgot about it because I didn't really bother updating it. Like, they're in the back of the book, but...
Yeah, I've got it right here. I don't know if it gets this
on
camera.
There's a whole Tumblr called Papa Teaches Me to World, which is always really terrible Tumblr with really bad graphics. But then I, like, stopped updating it after
You did something like that with Jared, too, didn't you?
I did. For a while there, and I think it's on Tumblr. Yeah. I think that's one of the Tumblrs I have. It's me, Jared. MeJared.tumblr.com. Oh gosh, now I don't remember. But just search for Jared the Bountiful Snowman Tumblr. I can pull it up right here. Yeah, it's me, Jared. And it was, Crayon Comics that he drew about his life. But that was another thing where it's like I posted those things and like some of them kind of caught on a little bit and some of them didn't. But the interesting thing was I told nobody about it, like, or I didn't make hardly any noise about it. Let me put it that way. And I just used tags, right? So like I had one where Jared and Orange Guy are walking under a tree, and then cobras come out of the tree and like, tree cobras, and then Orange Guy punches the tree into outer space, and then I show the International Space Station like, space cobras. I liked that one. I thought it was good. But I tagged it with like International Space Station, cobras, and like everything that was in the comic, and that one actually got passed around a little bit and seen by people.
Okay, thing to note though, I don't know if this is like a new thing or if it's actually just been that way always and they never told us, but in the tag system, only the first 5 tags show up in the search.
Oh,
really?
So put the most important in the first 5.
Oh, that's a good tip. Thank you for that.
Like, you can still obviously like click them and it'll send you to like that tag search, but like it might not necessarily be there.
I used to, A, that sucks. B, I used to do that for, I used to be the YouTube manager for my a cappella group, which is just a great intro sentence, but I had to put all of these videos on YouTube, and so, you know, they have a tag system there too, and just so everybody could find the tags really quick, because our name was the Dixon Janes, but you know, you could get anything with that. And so for one of the tags I put Brad is a banana, so if you because one of our members was annoying. Not really. You're wonderful, Brad, if you see this crap. So if you search Brad is a banana in YouTube, all of our videos would pop up. So like I've done that with my Tumblr. I've put like a tag that like nobody would think of searching and it pops up. So
As it maybe advantages.
Maybe I don't tag as many things as I think I do. Maybe I have like three.
Well, and that having an easy to remember and idiosyncratic tag would be a great way to help people find you on Tumblr, right? Rather than having to do the Tumblr log.
It's also, again, helpful for the Tumblr savior for people to blacklist. Like, I post all my like personal text posts that are just like me ranting about life. I put them as me, my life, and I. So if someone just doesn't want to hear that, they just want to see me reblog a bunch of gift sets and such, then they can blacklist that and it'll hide it from your dash.
But that doesn't work on mobile, right?
No.
Yeah. I think also cut text doesn't work on mobile.
I can't imagine a lot
What's
of
cut that. Text?
Can I insert a question? Do you guys use Tumblr on your phone a lot?
I do.
Okay. Because well, she saw me earlier. I was trying to like make a phone call on a smartphone and and it didn't work. So like how's Tumblr on a phone?
I mean I scroll through Tumblr like when I'm on the train and stuff. it's pretty good, but like I said, like if someone tries to put something behind a cut, which is like it's like if you have like a really long rant that you don't necessarily want everyone to read, you can have a little read more link and it'll like if you click it you can read it. But on mobile, you just have to scroll past the whole thing. Yeah. So sometimes people have like, oh, here's like my private rant that like if you want to read it, you can read it. But I don't want everyone to see it. On mobile, it's just there.
I guess my problem is like I just the images don't load that well sometimes as well.
Yeah. Well, they kind of like freeze on
the
screen.
Yeah, they freeze or they just have like the gray box of where they're supposed to be.
When it comes to cell phones,
like,
I'm like
adult will come up and have to scroll. Like
that. Hope that no one was looking over your shoulder.
Okay, we got to get the book recommendations. We just burned through an hour, guys. Oh. And I implore you that we can come back together, reconvene this roundtable, because this was really awesome. This time just flew by. But final thought. So I got a Tumblr. A bunch of people pass my thing around. So what? What do I get out of this thing? As the capitalist that I am, how do I benefit from this outside of saying a lot of people like me? Is that why? Is that why you want stuff to get shared around? But or what does this turn into once you're Tumblr famous?
I feel like it's a little bit like you get the satisfaction of the fact that they see it. A lot of people see it, but also like it gets out to people that not necessarily would know anything of you, or like maybe if it's an original work, then. Like, oh, this is really cute. I want to keep looking at this update and stuff like that. Like, it's not necessarily, maybe they're not that big into comics, but this one interests them enough that they're like, oh, I'm going to read it. So you might get some new audience that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's only going to be a certain percentage of people who read your comic online who are actually going to buy something from you later. But the more people you get to see it, like, that percentage is more people. So, like if we didn't have School of World on Tumblr, we probably wouldn't have sold any books. We probably wouldn't have made books at all because there wouldn't be any reason to. But since, like, on Tumblr, people can share it, it's really nice that, like, we get more readers and people saying that they love it. And we wouldn't have it otherwise.
Yeah, I one of the things that I like about Tumblr is that you can make these, you can, like, even that, like, tiny little sketch comic about the fridge, like you can send that out and then you just have a bunch of people who are like, oh yeah, know that feel, bro. And I don't know, that's nice that you're like, even if it's just like a reblog, even if it was only like a second in their internet day, it's nice that you like made a connection with a bunch of people and that kind of thing. However, I do have this like nightmare that like my gravestone is going to like read my name and then it's going to be like one time one of her pictures got reblogged like 11,000 times. Like I just like I'm just like worried that I'm like walking around and have or like that later on like the majority of my life is going to be judged by the one thing that
it's a catchphrase thing, right? It's like you don't want to be the guy who had that one really big catchphrase in 1989.
Yeah,
right.
You want to be Robert Pattinson.
Who?
Robert Pattinson, the guy who played Edward from Twilight.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You don't want to be just like have that one thing that you're remembered for that like is inconsequential to you, or you want to put it behind you, right? Yeah, that's.
I'm just gonna get that comic engraved. People be like, Maggie Ram, something about fridge.
She was the fridge girl. Yeah. She did the fridge comic, right?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Okay, well, I will. It's time to switch to book recommendations, and Sharon Iverson is waiting to come in. So here's the problem. One of you guys has to leave. Lauren, I think it's going to be you because you're sitting at the end of the table. But so we can talk about book recommendations for a few minutes. But before you go, Lauren, so awesome to have you on the show. Where can we find your Tumblr?
Lazuliart.tumblr.com.
Lazuliart, as in lapis lazuli.
Yeah.
.tumblr.com.
Yep.
And then if they want to see your personal stuff? No?
blizzardpaw.tumblr.com, all one word. Same as my my DeviantArt.
Okay, and that, yeah, blizzardpaw.deviantart.com to find your work. And we can tease that you're working on a book kind of with me right now.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Which we need to talk about. But, yes. But yeah.
I have it with me.
Oh, do you? Okay,
yes.
Okay, well, I'll look at it after we're done recording. But okay. Yes, very excited about that. It's something to do with magic and teddy bears, and it should be pretty good.
And dragons. Far more important than teddy bears.
No, the teddy bears are the best part.
Oh, see, I was drawn in by the teddy bears.
All right, well, thank you for coming, Lauren. And while Sharon comes in, I'll turn to Megan. Did you have book recommendations that you wanted to throw out for this segment of the show?
I have one book. I have it with me. The Hyperbole and a Half book.
Oh.
Like it was originally a blog, and it took her a while to write the book, but it's really good. And there's some like extra, like it's her blog where she has like art, and then like she writes these essays about like things that she did growing up or like things that she did recently. And like the pictures are so funny, and then the writing is so funny. And so there's new things in the book too, and I was trying to read it as slowly as possible so I could like savor it, but I read it too quickly because it was so good. So
she is a wizard at capturing uncomfortable moments in drawings.
Yes.
And it, that kind of jives with what we were talking about today, that this idea of like creating something that people emotionally connect to and say, oh man, that was me, or this is me right now, this was me yesterday kind of thing. Gosh, she's so good at that. I remember one of her early strips that I first crossed my radar was like when you're waiting in line for something and you see somebody across the room that you don't want to talk to, but they see you and they're waving and they're just smiling really big, and then your face slowly starts melting as they're getting closer to you kind of thing. So good. So good. So
that's her dog. It's amazing.
Yes. They're like so crude, but also so perfect.
Perfect dog.
Yeah, I mean, like she's not what you would call a technically proficient illustrator, right? But that's the charm of her work.
Yeah, but no, like you know the exact emotion and the exact like whatever she's trying to capture with these. Her dogs are the absolute best thing.
Yeah, no, I love her work. Hyperbole and a Half, the book, and then that makes me turn to Sharon Iverson of the Ann Arbor District Library. Good
Hello.
To see Sharon.
Yep.
So, did you bring books?
Well, I always bring books. Probably nothing to match Hyperbole and a Half, but no, I brought books along, and I just,
oh, okay,
I
you just, had them hidden. I didn't see them, so I thought, oh, did she just came
no,
to talk?
No, I'm just gonna like do hand signals and stuff. I also want to just mention this Sunday we have our next Comic Artist Forum with Ted Woods, and this will be from 1 to 4 here at the Downtown Library. Just outside the studio, fourth floor meeting room. And he's going to talk about artists trying to develop their own style when initially they're inspired by others and obviously maybe want to imitate. And how do you take that and make, you know, develop your own style of art? So that's what's coming.
And that I should say, that's from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Ann Arbor District Library. It's a free monthly event that the library puts on where we have a speaker come in. They do like a 20 to 40 minute thing.
Yeah.
And then like the rest of the time, it's a 2-hour event. The rest of the time is just meant for just drawing and hanging out with cartoonists. So if you are in the Ann Arbor area and you're like, where are all the cartoonists? That's one of the places to find them. And I usually... Sorry, I'm starting to talk like a commercial. But I mean, I go to the thing. I'm there. You can watch me draw Captain Cat. I work on Captain Cat on my tablet while hanging out at the forum. So
Right. So I have a couple books and...
Tune.
I can't get my hands yet on volume 2, which is, I assume, going to come soon into the library. Am I... Oh, I got to hold it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Derek Kirk Kim is a really, I kind of got a thing about Derek Kirk Kim. And that was thanks to Jersey, who said, oh, you've got to read him. You haven't read him? This is about a kid named Andy who is just kind of like his life is going nowhere. He's dropped out of art school because he thinks he's going to head into the most spectacular career. And he's living at home. His parents are like bugging the heck out of him to get a job, get a job, get a job, when he meets two interesting people who are offering just that. But not quite what he's expecting. This is volume one, Vanishing Point. Volume two is out.
Can't recommend it enough.
Oh, it's really,
it's so good.
Really good.
No, Derek Kim is a master. He's a master. Mm-hmm. Makes me cry.
I know. Me too. I've got bookmarks in here. My apologies. I have Fairy Tale Comics, which I just bumped into at the shelf the other day, and I think I got excited when I saw Ramona Fraiden listed in here. And how old is she? She's at least 80.
Yeah, still working.
Still working.
She worked on Aquaman in the 60s.
Right. And so this is a whole collection put together by Chris Duffy of a number of different creators. Raina Telgemeier has Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. Ramona Fraiden in her little bit more traditional thing is The Prince and the Tortoise. And then I like them all, but here's
Raina's
Rapunzel, as only she can do it.
Yeah.
And then I liked this one, which is Baba Yaga.
Oh,
and
I love that story.
And it's cool because at the beginning of each tale, at the bottom in the corner, they'll say from, this one's from The Russian Tale by Jillian Tamaki.
Sorry, they've got a Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and the bears and Goldilocks are just like perfectly portrayed.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, talk about an interesting contrast, because Goldilocks and the Three Bears, of course, has all the fun panels that, you know, just pace you through the story. But in Baba Yaga, it's almost like single page but multiple action going on that you talk about a lot, Jersey, when you're teaching. You know, that all the things that you as a cartoonist can do to, you know, propel the action forward with, you know, stuff going on and move the story right along. I just think it's really cool. So that's another one. I think there's a Nursery Rhyme Comics.
Yep, that was another one.
That's kind of a fun thing, and I'm a big Hilda fan.
Hilda and the Midnight Giant. And this is the new one.
This is Hilda and the Bird Parade, and Hilda and her mother have moved into town. I swear this is in Norway, but, you know, we don't know where. It seems like some northern European country. And Hilda wants to go out and explore, and when she lived in the mountains with her mom, it was no problem, you know, just go out and run around. But her mother is freaked out about her going out into the dangerous city. But when some friends come from school to take her out, mom relents and gives her permission. But the friends she's just getting acquainted with and the things that they think is really cool, like ultimately one of them is to throw stones at birds in a tree, and one actually connects.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. And so then Hilda's freaked out because this bird, is it dead? Is it dead? And thus begins an interesting adventure for Hilda, because that bird is not your average bird. Hinted from the title, Bird Parade.
Luke Pearson, Hilda and the Bird Parade.
Bird Parade, yep.
Fantastic books. My book recommendation this time, I don't often get to do them. We always run out of time, and actually we're running long today, but too much good stuff to talk about, is I'm just going to recommend School of World by Megan Brennan and Rel. It's so, so funny, and it's unlike anything that you've ever read. I mean, you talk about finding your voice and finding your style. The thing I love about it is that it feels like I can't describe it. It's you can't find the same. This is pure Megan, right? This is pure Megan and Rel, and like that makes the book all the more precious, because it doesn't feel like, oh, this is reminiscent of X, right? You don't get that experience with this. It feels very, very fresh, and it's really it's got this whimsical style, and it's very simple, but it's so richly funny in its simplicity. That's what I love about it. So Can't recommend this enough. The other one is Pencil Pup, folks. Read Pencil Pup and get the mini comic. I love, Megan, that you made the mini comic into a composition book with like the hole cut out of the front with Pencil Pup's face poking out of it. And it's like the sweetest nightmare I've ever had reading that book.
Thank you.
That'd be the poll quote for me. Is it the sweetest nightmare I've ever had? It's so uncomfortable, but it's so warm. It's so warmly uncomfortable. I can't get enough of it. So congratulations on a year of Pencil Pup. And looking forward to more of it. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Sharon, for the book recommendations. Thank you, Megan Brennan. Megan, where can we find more about you?
My website is megan-brennan.com. My main Tumblr, which I reblog links to things on, is megthebrennan.tumblr. Everything else is linked on there.
And we'll link to everything else in the show notes as well for folks who are watching. And then, so yes, thank you again, Megan. I'd love to have you back to talk more about this, this and more topics. Maggie, where can we find more about you? Where are you?
Well, you'll probably find most of me at ipsurvivalblog.weebly.com, and there you can see me struggle as I try and make a long-term comic that has like a plot and characters and things. And I want to go back to just the fridge scribble, but that's where you can find me.
And we should say you studied or are studying under Phoebe Glockner.
Yeah, actually, she's kind of like my mentor at the art school right now. I'm in the final stage, so this comic that I'm making is going to be my senior thesis.
So cool.
Yeah. So if I don't like accidentally like combust from the insides from like the amount of work that I have to do, then I would totally like bring that like the final product over here or Sweet. Combust from the insides. So yeah, but
probably both.
Yeah, Phoebe's the Glock in my pocket, as I've started to call her Phoebe Glockner. But yeah, she's helping me out over there.
That's we can't ask for better. Yeah, you know, as far as guidance and advice on making comics, I mean, yeah. Phoebe's one of the best, so. Well, best of luck to you. When you're done,
I'm gonna need all the luck I can get.
Everybody will be cheering you on Tumblr. I feel you when you do the stick figure comic about you combusting.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
And then I'll be posting this is me in real life. All right, this show will be archived at comicsaregreat.com/CAG90. And if you enjoyed this discussion, something you can do right now is if you're watching on YouTube, you can give it a thumbs up to help more people find the show. You can go to iTunes. You can give us a star review. You don't even have to write a whole review, although, you know, nice kids do. But you just pick how many stars you think we deserve for this discussion. And I think we deserve a lot. All the stars, as Hyperbole and a Half would say. And we'll be back in a couple weeks. December 11th, I think, is our next show. It's the final show of 2013. I've got Dave Roman and Raina Telgemeier. We're going to continue the tradition of doing a comics discussion with Dave and Raina to close out the year. And so thanks for downloading and watching and listening, and thanks for hanging out with us on the live stream. Until next time, I've been Jersey Drozd of ComicsAreGreat.com and Jersey on Twitter.